Has anybody even heard of Dow? A template was set early on. The result of Roe was that so here's from the page, front page of the New York Times in its account of the day after the decision came down. High court rules abortion's legal in the first 3 months. Okay. So 46 years of litigation, trying to overturn Roe versus Wade, trying to protect Roe versus Wade. What is the current status of it? In 1992, Roe versus Wade was somewhat supplanted. So this case recognized the medical advances since 1973, where viability is now down to 22 weeks, and took this into consideration. But it did make it, so there was always hope with these cases that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. And that didn't happen, but it did make it easier for states to enact regulations on abortion. And what they did was they instituted an undue burden test so that states can regulate abortion as long as it doesn't present an undue burden on women. So after Casey, there's a legal strategy where the state started enacting a lot of abortion restrictions to test how far you could go with the undue burden. For example, can a state require a waiting period before the abortion procedure? Can a state require the clinic to have hallways wide enough to accommodate an ambulance gurney in the event of a medical emergency? So let's jump to 2016. This is another big change in the Roe series of cases. You might remember, because this was huge in the news in 2016, the United States Supreme Court heard the case of Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt. And that resulted in a clarifying of the undue burden test, because that was always really vague. Now, in this case, it was to the advantage of abortion advocates. The undue burden test now has more hoops for the state to get through. I'm not going to go through those. I'm just going to say what happened in Texas was that when this law that was challenged was passed, half of the abortion clinics in the state went out of business. And so what happened is the court basically has to balance access and safety. And unfortunately, in this case, access trumped. So they're still holding to permitting access without the undue burden in the states. Have to really come up with a lot more scientific explanations of why they want to have these restrictions. Okay. So as we know, currently abortion advocates are very nervous about the future of Roe. The legal consensus seems to be that it will not be outright overturned, but rather it could be whittled away to the point that it is much weakened. Either of those scenarios is gravely disturbing to abortion supporters. So Roe versus Wade is a very weak and flawed case. Even liberal scholars have strongly criticized it. Lawrence Tribe wrote, "Behind its own verbal smokescreen, the substantive judgment on which it rests is nowhere to be found." And even Harry Blackmun's former clerk said, "As a matter of constitutional interpretation, even most liberal jurisprudes, if you administer Trucerum, will tell you it is basically indefensible." There are cases that would challenge Roe heading for the Supreme Court now, and we will see if the court will grant certiorari, which means that they're agreeing to hear it. If one such case were before the court today, it does not necessarily mean it would result in a weakening or overturning of Roe. The current Chief Justice, Justice Roberts, has been signaling his desire to prevent any appearance of the court acting in a partisan or political manner with respect to abortion. So let's hope politics doesn't prevent the overturning of Roe. So if it was, though, abortion would not become illegal, the issue would go back to the states to determine if abortion is legal in each state. However, if Roe is overturned and abortion is no longer a constitutional right, this would have a great positive impact on the culture because the laws we have are great teachers. If it's legal and a constitutional right, it feels more okay. So the good news is that the public generally strongly disfavors late-term abortion. So since the public largely doesn't know that Roe and Doe together allow late-term abortion, the wide support of Roe is based on a misunderstanding of what it did. With all the attention on Roe, with Brett Kavanaugh joining the court, maybe a more accurate understanding of Roe will result. The most recent abortion-related decision to come down from the Supreme Court was Box versus Planned Parenthood. This was just decided on May 28th. This case upheld an Indiana state law requiring abortion clinics to handle the remains of aborted fetuses with dignity by refraining from treating them like trash, throwing the bodies away like garbage. Instead, there must be cremation or burial. It is saying that the remains of the preborn should be treated the same as remains of a deceased person who was born. So this is very, very important because it infers that the fetus is a human being worthy of respect and dignity. Anything that supports the humanity of the fetus is very problematic to the abortion industry that works very hard to dehumanize the preborn. They have to dehumanize preborn children so it is easier for all involved to kill them. The same thing, dehumanization, happened to African American slaves. The same thing happened to Native Americans. The same thing happened to Jews and others in Nazi Germany. At the same time, the Supreme Court upheld Indiana's cremation or burial law. The court also said that it would not yet address an Indiana law that prohibits abortions based on race, gender, which is sex selection, or disability. However, Justice Thomas wrote a substantial concurrence discussing the eugenic potential of abortion and sowed the seeds of a future decision upholding such a law. But we will see what happens. It seems that what the country ultimately needs to legally protect the unborn is federal personhood, to define person under the 14th Amendment to the Constitution to include the preborn. Federal personhood would protect the unborn as well as babies who survive the abortion procedure in those states in which there are no protections for them and which allow infanticide, like New York. How did infanticide come to be in our country? This is a complicated issue that deserves more time. But when we have moral relativity and the mother deciding if the fetus is a person or not, and that is based on whether or not she wants to keep the baby, then it isn't such a leap to sanctioning killing a baby who is born. If the mother intended to kill the baby, the fact that the abortion was unsuccessful should not thwart her original intent. This seems to be how the argument is made. And in the recent Box decision, we have the highly respected Ruth Bader Ginsburg stating that a woman who exercises her constitutionally protected right to terminate a pregnancy is not a mother. The title mother encompasses the protective role every mother has for her child. Twisting the definition of mother to help support a woman's decision to abort her baby by removing that role is life-threatening wordsmithing and manipulation. In our country, powerful corporate and political interests are shattering the most intimate bond between mother and child. Training the mother to turn against her child in the name of freedom, equality, choice, and empowerment. Words that sound great and we believe in, but these are brands that are being applied to a great atrocity. There have been attempts for decades to get federal personhood established. These attempts have not been entirely abandoned, but recently even multiple attempts by the U.S. Congress to get protections at least for the abortion survivors so that these babies must be given medical care have also failed. Okay. So there's a really important movement right now that we all need to be aware of. Abortion supporters are working to bring back and ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. This potential amendment to the Constitution consists of just a few words. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Okay, that doesn't even mention abortion. But this is a strategy to finalize the right to abortion and end the debate once and for all. An equal rights amendment would be used to hold up the argument that prohibiting abortion affects women's ability to maintain an equal status with men, so that making abortion unlawful or unavailable would be breaching women's equal rights. So that is why this amendment is really important to the pro-abortion movement. In fact, this theory is the theory that Ruth Bader Ginsburg always thought Roe should have used. Ironically, Alice Paul, who authored the Equal Rights Amendment in 1923, said abortion is the ultimate exploitation of women. So, to end the discussion of Roe, let's turn to Frederica Matthews Green, a well-known Orthodox Christian who supported abortion in the 60s and 70s, and early on thought Roe was a good decision. She is one of Orthodoxy's strongest and most eloquent pro-life voices, yet she was formerly a staunch abortion supporter. Convert, yay! She summarizes Roe best with this profound insight. Roe has taught us many lessons which now govern our lives in ways we can barely perceive. Instead of being one small tool for women's advancement, abortion opened up a chasm and a lot of unexpected things fell in. It turned out to be an irresistible force because abortion makes things so much easier for everyone around the pregnant woman. Overnight, unplanned pregnancy became her private problem. The network of support that once existed had been shattered. To continue a pregnancy came to look like an insane choice, one that placed an unfair burden on others. A woman in an unplanned pregnancy was not just permitted to have an abortion, she was expected to, and that has made all the difference.